But we know we just went through this Toronto incident and still going through it. We're still going through the Broncos devastation. There's a lot of things going on. And I know in our life, there's once upon a time we've asked ourselves, why is this happening to me? Why do bad things happen to good people? And it's such an outstanding question. And we're going to be joined by psychoanalyst Michael Gellert. He's the author of The Divine Mind, Exploring the Psychological History of God's Inner Journey. Now, he is the author of several books, including The Fate of America, Modern Mysticism, The Way of the Small, and you can find him online, michaelgellert.com. And, you know, outstanding journey he's had himself. Michael, reading that, you know, you were born and raised in Montreal, and you were in Europe and in India, and you worked with a Zen master in Japan, and you've taught in Toronto and New York, and now in LA. I mean, you've had an extensive journey yourself. And was this all just in search of information?
It was in search of, thank you very much, by the way, yes, I did live in Toronto, and I want to just extend my sympathy for what the city's going through with this. I can imagine what it's like. Most of my search was really part of a process of self-discovery and curiosity, interest in the inner workings of the human mind and the soul. And it brought me into psychology, which is very closely aligned with religion. So that is what went into also the process of writing the book you described.
Yeah, and let's talk about, you know, the question that's posed, why do bad things happen to good people? And I'm sure there's not a person listening right now that hasn't asked that because they've gone through something themselves, or we see all the tragedies throughout North America and we keep asking these questions. And, you know, is this something that's posed to you quite often?
Well, it's a very prevalent question, and a lot of people, as you said, ask it, and it's a very good question. We have to understand, though, that the background for that question is very unique in the religions that came out of Judaism, which is not only Judaism, of course, but Christianity and Islam. And in those religions, historically, if you read the scriptures of them, we had a God back then, in ancient times, who acted in history. He appeared, he made miracles such as the Exodus in the Hebrew Bible or the crucifixion and resurrection in the New Testament. We're brought up believing in a God who intervenes in human history and changes the events of history. This is unique to those three religions. Few of the other religions, major religions in the world, have a God that actually intervenes in history. But what is interesting, in all three of the religions I mentioned, Kara, that when the scriptures of them closed, when they were canonized and no longer further added to, God's intervention in human history ceased. It ended. And we don't understand what that is. So when we ask the question, why do bad things like what happened in Toronto happen and God doesn't intervene, we have to remember that the ending of God's intervention in history was a positive development. What it really did was it set us free with our free will to not be dependent upon God as a super parent and to determine our own history. So the fight against evil is something that we have to carry on, and we've, in a sense, become more adult-like in that. So if you take away our free will and return us back to this old kind of history where God intervened, well, it would be a huge step backwards, even though, of course, at the time of a crisis like this in Toronto, we wish he would intervene. But we have to recognize and ask ourselves, would that be in our better interest in the long run?
Yeah, and I think that's where it kind of depends on the circumstance at the time, right? Someone listening that's just gone through this tragedy, you know, is saying, of course it would be better if God intervened for the good, right? And of course, that, you know, a lot of scenarios that have happened, it would have been better if there was some sort of intervention to go in a positive direction. Now, when it seems that there are circumstances out there where people credit God, whatever that God means to them, credit God for, you know, maybe a turn of fate. You know, what is the explanation there? Because there's times when people, it's just inexplicable. It had to be, you know, a divine being intervention.
Well, that's also something that's prevalent in our scriptures. We read, especially in the Hebrew Bible, that God has a dark side. You know, he says in the biblical book of Isaiah, I create good and evil. I am the author of both of these. Now, that's a very hard pill for us to swallow in modern times. And of course, when something evil happens, like what happened in Toronto, and people suffer, we want to understand that God, we want to believe that God is just, you know, doing good things. But when he created the world, when if you just follow the story of creation in the Bible, and, you know, I'm speaking about it metaphorically now, not necessarily as a literal event that happened in 7 days, the very process of change depends on the corruption of things, the aging of things, the vulnerability of human beings to illness. If God made a universe that was only one-sidedly good, we would never evolve. You know, I often think of something Pablo Picasso said, which is that the act of creation is first and foremost an act of destruction. Something always needs to die in order for something new to be born. It's just the way our universe and evolution is. So this is a hard one for us to wrap our minds around, that God created this universe to be the way it is, and it's not a punishment. It's not a personal thing that God has a vendetta against us when something like Toronto happens. It's just part of the fallibility of human life and its frailty.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand where you're coming from, because if we look at as individuals, anytime we've grown in life, it's oftentimes we've grown because of, it doesn't have to be a tragedy, but something negative happened, something bad happened, or something didn't work out the way you wanted it to, which forced growth. It kind of pushed you in that direction of evolving and being, you know, more mature or growing. I read a quote once, we shed tears for growth. And, you know, so meaning you went through something tough, you know, in order to come out on the other side. And so I can understand, you know, in respect to that, it's probably just tough when it's so extreme, you know, when we get to the point of death. And maybe, you know, when people look at it in more of a philosophical side, you know, maybe this person died because the people surrounding them, they needed to grow in a certain realm, and, you know, it was kind of set up in that way. And so for those that maybe are listening, maybe they're, you know, people aren't really listening that are religious or, you know, believe in God, how do you wrap your mind around these tragedies? Is it essentially just it having a purpose, or it's just random?
Well, they certainly seem to be random. The person who did what he did in Toronto was just randomly, blindly driving on the sidewalk, and unfortunately, whoever was in his way got hurt or killed. To assign that randomness to God is, you know, again, it comes to that mystery and that not taking the dark side of life as a personal, vengeful punishment of us. That is still a kind of holdover from the biblical days. You know, you made the point very well, the quote you gave, and there's many like it. If there's no pain, there's no gain. Somebody once beautifully said that our losses and our suffering are God's way of letting us know what he has taken from us. All our mythology, all our ways of speaking about God are in this biblical old sense, and we look for a religious meaning in these random events. And, you know, maybe there really isn't a religious meaning in the sense of design. We have to kind of open ourselves to the mystery of God and accept our freedom as separate beings who have to determine our future, and it's up to us to be aware of, you know, these people who go on these rampages, like also the one that happened in Parkland in high school in Florida, we have to be responsible and observe as a community of individuals when we see a young person beginning to get very depressed or psychotic or being fascinated in weapons and starts ordering and amassing a collection of guns and gunfire. We have to be aware of that and take that responsibility, because in the world today, we're responsible very much for the evil that we create. It's not that God is evil. It's that we are prone to becoming the very thing we then blame God for.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Now, the divine mind, exploring the psychological history of God's inner journey. Tell me what the book is about and what we can take away from it.
Sure. The divine mind is a look at the adventure of God's evolution from the beginning of the Bible right up to modern times. And what we discover is that God is actually changing. He is transforming slowly over the centuries as we are. And as we become more sophisticated in the questions we ask, in the answers we provide, also our portrait and God's revelation, according to these scriptures, become more sophisticated. So the divine mind starts with the Hebrew Bible, and then it proceeds on to the other developments that happened after it. That include the Talmud in Judaism, the New Testament and the story of Jesus, the Incarnation in the New Testament. Then it looks at the Quran, and then it eventually moves through history and comes upon the mystics in the Middle Ages. And then it goes on to modern times, and it explores questions exactly like what we're talking about today, things like the Holocaust. How can such things happen, and how can we still believe in God? Mm-hmm. Those are two huge opposites to hold together. So what the book really does, it explores the evolution of our experience of the divine, and tries to show that when we come to modern times, and particularly starting with the mystics, that God has relocated. He's relocated from outside in a heaven above us to inside ourselves. Because what the mystics teach is that by going inward through prayer, through meditation, through an increased awareness of ourselves, the movement today you hear so much about, mindfulness, which is borrowed from Buddhism, by going inward, we find the God within us. And that actually is the core message of Jesus in the New Testament, that the kingdom of God is within us. That was a huge revolution then, and it's still a huge revolution today that we're still trying to master.
Yeah, I think so many questions that we're always asking ourselves day in and day out being answered, and the book addressing that. Michael, thank you so much for your time. Again, the book is called The Divine Mind, Exploring the Psychological History of God's Inner Journey and the Transition of How We Look at and Revere God in Those Different Eras. And again, it's Michael Gellert, psychoanalyst and best-selling author. You can find him online. You can find the book on Amazon. You can also find it off his website, Michael Gellert, GELLERT.com.